I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are here. We are live. We are chatting all about one of our favorite reality TV shows, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Last night's episode did give some tea to talk about, which we're going to dive in and dig in and really get into the nitty-gritty of some things. Next up, we also have following. We have news. We have special segments. We have astrology segment. What? We have an how many F's do I give segment. We have it all here for you all today. But of course, I have with me my lovely panel, starting off with Ethan Paisley.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Excited to dive into it today.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Jane Johnson.
What's up, guys?
Yes, and then we have Laura Thomas-San.
Hi, everybody. So thrilled to be here. Dig into it.
Yes, super exciting episode. We do have some quiet things to talk about, but I do want to start off talking about Garcelle. It was one of the first scenes that we did see, and it was her surrounded by basically her circle of friends, who she considers to be her nitty-gritty girlfriends. I, for one, loved it. I loved seeing who I saw. We saw Will Smith's ex up in there. I vote her for the next housewife. Somebody needs to include her in as well, right? So overall thoughts on that. Ethan, what did you think about seeing Garcelle? Did you think she was more like in her element?
Okay, loved it. But it also spoke to what we keep saying, which is this friend group on The Real Housewives seems a little forced, because if Garcelle is spending her time with girlfriends and not with the girlfriends we see on the show, it makes me a little suspicious. But I did love seeing her in her element. And why is Garcelle the first Black woman on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, right? Like, why does she, I don't know, have to be the first? Can we get Will Smith's ex on? Can we expand for inclusion, please?
Yes. What do you think, Jane?
Love that. I think it's so important. And also, I agree. It does kind of seem like Garcelle, to me, has this, like, life outside of Real Housewives. That, like, we see her scenes as separate than, you know, she's obviously joining some of the dinner parties, but there's a lot of times where she's not there. And that's, like, been my plea last week, and my plea this week is to include her more, please, because I don't know if it's, like, her taking a stance to show her life more or if she's not being included. I don't quite know what to believe. But I love the Will Smith X moments. And I love that all of these events are, like, right around my apartment. I really need to go on more walks in LA is what I'm learning. I need to go on more walks in LA so that I'm, like, running into these film experiences, yeah. You know? I live right by the Beverly Center, and they're always there, this episode too. So,
right?
Yeah, this was at the SLS Hotel.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Bougie.
Beverly Hills, Laura, baby.
Yeah. Laura, did you love seeing Garcelle and her friends in the scene?
Of course. I mean, I agree with everything that Jane was just saying, and Ethan. Like, this is, I don't know why it took so long to get a fabulous, you know, African-American woman on the show. So that, first of all, is just, like, an amazing thing to see. But then also to see her, like, her group, her core, I really loved kind of seeing who she vibes with. I just agree with Jane. I want to see more of that Garcelle in the group with the other women. You know, and just throw, you know, my musical theater nerd out there. I have auditioned at that Third Street dance where Erica was performing. Where she
yes!
was. No! I've auditioned there so many times. So when she was, like, getting in that room, I was like, yes, girl, get it. So. Made me very happy. Jane, I agree with you. I got to go on more LA walks around that neighborhood.
It's all around the same block. Like, Third Street Dance is, like, a block away, basically, two blocks away from where Garcelle was.
Down the street from Vanderpump Dogs, right?
Yeah, right, and yes. right by they keep going to Farmhouse, which is like in the Beverly Center. Farmhouse and the restaurant next door.
Oh, that's where Farmhouse is. I was wondering. I'm like, where?
You guys, our panel could lead a walking tour for AfterBuzz listeners.
Stop it, Jane. Stop.
I think that's a fantastic idea and I fully support it.
Oh my God, I'll do an Airbnb experience.
The RHOBH experience in Jane's area. That is so funny. I do have to say, I love that Garcelle mentioned, I'm a girl's girl. She talked about the representation of Black women in Hollywood. It was just so powerful to see all of them and them sitting down and having this conversation. I definitely wanted more. That's why I say Will Smith's ex. I'm so down to have her. Do we think that this is definitely going to open a bigger door, though, for an opportunity, let's say one of the ladies leaves, to bring in more diversity into the cast? Because I do feel like that's been something that it's lacked of, well, it definitely has lacked in for so many years. What do you think, Laura?
I mean, I hope so. I think what, we're in 2020. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things where I am shocked that we're, I guess, still having this conversation. But at the same time, like, yes, I agree. I want to see more than kind of just one note. In the show. So I'm loving that we're getting a few more flavors in there, and Garcelle is like the perfect addition.
Yes, totally. A new addition that we do see is Dorit, right, with her restaurant. Now, I think last week we said that she was going to purchase or kind of be it some sort of owner of an establishment, a buka establishment. But this episode, it made it seem like she was just going to take charge of the decor of it. So that's something that I need clarification on. Am I the only one that thinks she was going to like get an actual restaurant?
Yeah, or I agree with you. So she's just designing this room, which is confusing in and of itself. Then there's the factor of, if she wants to be a designer, why doesn't she find like a great new up and coming restaurant and become like their in-house interior designer? Or like, aren't there better opportunities for Dorit than Buca di Beppo?
Buca di Beppo is like a step up from Sbarro. Like, I don't understand this.
Oh my God.
She's going to drain them dry. She's going to drain this place dry. Every time they have a business meeting, there's so much fear in this man's eyes that I feel so bad for him. But I mean, I what is she possibly going to do to this Buca di Beppo? I feel like she's going to turn it into this like fabulous experience. But yes, she is just designing the one room in the Buca di Beppo, which is going to turn them bankrupt, and and then from there she wants to expand into more design opportunities, like you said, Ethan, where she's like actually probably hopefully designing other restaurants that are not just Buca di Beppo. Mm. More rooms in more restaurants,
but okay, she said. Here's another question to pose to the panel. Doesn't Buca di Beppo have like a guideline book of how it's supposed to look? Like, isn't this, I mean, I know she's friends with the founder of the chain, but at the same time, like, you go into Starbucks, every Starbucks looks the same. So
totally, totally. I don't know why they're going rogue in Encino, but they are.
Like, wait, have you been to the one in Encino?
Well,
have you been to the one inside?
I haven't been. No, I haven't been inside. Oh. What if I was like, leave meeting? I say, how dare you? Only one star.
You're talking about, okay. So wait, the one that they're filming, is that the one at Encino? Because I haven't been to the one. The only one I've been to is the one in Universal Studios, the City Walk one. And that was years ago. So I know it has its own style. That's why I was like, wait, have you been to that one?
It appears to be, more or less on the side of the road in Encino.
Got it.
Why is it always Encino these days?
Did you notice that when they showed the exterior of the building, it was up for half a second? Yeah. They showed it for a millisecond, and they were like, not on brand.
Hey, guys, this is Brian the Booth. I am, just because I live in Encino, and I do know the book of Boba you're talking about, it is very much just on the side of the road on Ventura Boulevard. I've never been inside of it. I've been, the only time I've been to a Boca de Beppo is in San Francisco, where I'm from, and that one is very, like Italian, like, art-themed. Like, there's a lot of statues and stuff. I don't know if what any of the others look like, but that I can tell you the San
Francisco. That's exactly like what that. This one looks like. What if she's going to commission real Italian statues?
Oh, my God.
I just can't. It, to me, it's like trying to take like a Kia Soul and redo the like the interior to be leather and then call it a Porsche.
This is Pimp My Buca de Beppo.
Oh my God!
Get on it, Bravo.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It seems like such an off-brand thing, especially for Dorit, who sort of oozes this like or maybe not oozes but puts on this refined air about herself. It just seems to me like completely like a 180 for her to be involved in this whole venture, and I don't know if it's just because she wants a creative outlet or if she wants to put her name on something, but either way it's the wrong stamp to make, I think.
Yeah, she showed up in a Ferrari, and as soon as she was shutting down the door, I was like, how many Ferraris, or people who drive Ferraris go to Buca? Like, it didn't click for me. There was also a comment that the CEO made, and he's like, can you scale my commitment from 1 to 10? He gave her a 3.5 for her commitment. I mean, the shade.
That was so
well, and this
funny.
Is apparently like a good friend, right? Like a good friend of theirs that was like, you're like a 3 tops. And then PK speaks up and he's like, I know you're a 4, honey, calm down. Like, I was like, this poor girl has zero like support at her back in this meeting.
I feel so bad
because last week when we talked about her Buca de Beppo for the first time, I posted that clip on my Instagram story. Dorit actually watched all 3 talking about it. And just nothing, just scene.
Oh my God, are you so- You should have screenshotted it. Screenshot it next
Were
time.
Were you throwing shade at her? Wait,
well,
oh,
it was like, what is it? You know, why is she doing this? It's stupid. So sorry to read
it. She knows.
She does. She knows exactly. She wants to be like LVP, you know? And they brought up LVP too in the conversation. So, LVP.
Did anybody else feel like, especially watching this particular segment of the episode, I just feel like every time, and it kind of goes back to that forced feeling that I feel like this season has, but I feel like every time Dorit is on camera right now, she just feels very like over-scripted, overproduced, almost like she's just like she's not relaxed at all into who she is or who she's talking to, but she's very much like kind of putting on a persona. Did anybody else feel that from her in this episode? Because I don't know if why I particularly noticed it more this time than in previous episodes, but it really rubbed me the wrong way. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I totally caught that, but that's always been my feeling with Dorit, honestly. Like ever since she came on the show, I've felt like she puts on this facade and you know, has this other life that we don't really get to hear about.
Right.
But whatever the changes. Facade,
yeah, but I get that
it's like working for me. I mean, I love her.
I guess what I'm saying is I know that there's like an air that Dorit puts on, you know, whether it be the accent, which was, you know, a whole thing and all, or the clothes and, you know, the glam and all of that. Like, I know that there's an overproduced quality to Dorit. But what I'm feeling from her this season more than ever is kind of what I'm feeling from Kyle, which is that I feel like it's that constant producer in her ear of like, say this next, make sure you work in this angle. Make sure it just feels very like inauthentic. The more that it goes on, I can't buy it.
I completely agree with you. I actually watched an hour-long interview of Dorit. I was hooked, and this is something that I thought would never happen, but she was on the Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald, and she had an interview, and it was the first time ever that I had seen Dorit relaxed and just answering questions and being so authentically herself. I actually liked her so much. And this was before this season started. And I'm like, this is the side that I want to see of her. She was talking about her businesses. She was talking about herself, her family. Like, it was just a different environment. So if you guys ever get a chance, just go and watch that interview. It's an hour long. And I'm like, I'm not going to stay an hour listening to it. But I was listening to it in the background and it was good.
I love Juicy Scoop. That's a great podcast.
Yeah, you know, I'll watch that right after this show.
Yeah. No. Go, definitely go watch it.
Maybe Dorit's hiding because of the financial issues that were exposed at the beginning of the season.
Or maybe she just feels the need to bring in drama so she can continue to bring in the money.
Or that.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into a really, really fun time that we got to see, which was Erica's astrology party. All of a sudden, these ladies were twinning. First off, who wore it best? Erica or Rinna? What do you think? What do you think, Jane? Who wore it best?
The
pink jumpsuit.
That's such a tough one. But probably Erica. I mean, it's her party. I can't believe that, like, they all wore the same thing, because you got to include Garcelle in there too. Like, she was wearing the also pink dress. I didn't even know that this is such a niche clothing item. The suit dress that is hot pink, the fact that they all wore it is crazy. The brand had to have sent them something, because the exact same dress was worn on Rinna and Erica Jane. So the brand had to be like, at some point in the season, wear this. And they wore it on the same exact night. I don't know. But I think that Erica Jane wore it better.
Agreed. Blondes wear pink best.
Okay. So I agree too. I think Erica wore it best. And those diamonds that she had with the set of earrings. Oh my gosh. I lived for it. So we get into this conversation with all of them, right? And the astrologer gets there, the ladies are jumping in, and all of a sudden, this whole conversation starts about attacking Kyle in a certain type of way. What did everyone get from that scene when everybody was just talking to Kyle and telling her exactly, basically talking about her relationship between herself and Teddy? You know, do we think that their relationship or their friendship is weird, as Erica stated? What do you think, Ethan?
I mean, I'm a huge fan of astrology, so I choose to believe that Capricorns and Cancers are made for each other. That's the unique affinity they have. But what's weird is all the women are like Cancers in this group, which was like shocking to me, but kind of makes sense at the same time.
Yeah,
kind of Cancers block from each other, don't they? Lots of emotions.
Yeah.
Lots
of emotions.
Each other. Laura's a Cancer. I'm a Cancer, so I tend to, like, all of a sudden, all of my best friends, like, I look around, I'm like, you're a Cancer too. You're a Cancer. So, Bree in the studio, in the booth, is a Cancer too. Wow. I know. We tend to find each other.
What do you think,
Jane?
I was trying to remember what the original question is.
Do we actually think that Kyle and Teddy's friendship is weird, as stated by Erica?
Okay, now we're back.
Sorry.
I think that their friendship is not necessarily weird. Like, I mean, I sleep in the same bed as my friends. Is that weird? I don't think it's weird personally.
Every day?
Not every single day, but like, we'll go out at night on like a Saturday and we'll sleep in the same bed. Oh. Especially if you're like on a vacation in a huge mansion and you guys are drunk and tipsy and having fun. Like, why wouldn't you sleep in the same bed? I don't think that's weird. I don't think it's weird to do some woo-woo crap when you're like breathing and, you know, whatever. I think it's great. I just think that they do tend to buddy up and bully others together. And so that, I think, is, I don't know about weird, but I think that it's the reason why this all came out. I do think that they both will kind of attack people together in a interesting way. So that in a way I was like, okay, maybe they had this coming a little bit.
Yeah, there's a distinction between the relationship between because LVP and Kyle were always really, really great friends. And so that kind of felt a little effortless. But now that LVP is gone, Kyle has latched on to Teddy. They both pretty much latched on each other and they're dependent. So, you know, in everything that was going on, the talk between their friendship, Kyle started crying. And Kyle was really active yesterday on Twitter. She actually tweeted something that I'm going to read to you all and see your thoughts on this. She says, I hate that I cried. Trust me, I wish I could calmly say that hurts my feelings instead of crying or lashing out. Hashtag RHOBH. Adding, I am a very sensitive and emotional person. When my feelings get hurt in this group, I try not to show vulnerability and end up stinging back and then almost always end in tears. Is this something that we've always seen of Kyle, or is this a new side of her? What do you think, Jane?
It feels new that this whole experience is happening where, like, she's being so, so defensive and then crying immediately. Like, it feels like she's so claws out. And then the moment she feels unable to at least like admit a little bit of wrong, like, she just cries and then runs away. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Laura, do you agree? Oh.
Yeah, well, I don't think that this is a necessarily a new thing that we've seen from Kyle. I think just the intensity of it this for some reason this season feels more intense from her. Like, it seems like it's her default rather than like the exception to the rule, and I don't understand that.
Ethan, yeah. The same way?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I feel like it has been blown out of proportion with these ladies. I agree with you guys. This is different for me.
Same. Right. Yeah. It's interesting. So, you know, within the conversation, Garcelle also kind of inserts herself into the equation, and she starts saying how Kyle is very on the surface and she hasn't felt like she has treated her properly since the beginning. I think for me, this was kind of like a huge jump that Garcelle made, and I think she kind of spoke a little too soon, because not everyone will always be extremely welcoming to you. What do you think, Laura? Do you think that Garcelle jumped the gun and spoke too soon, or do you think that she was just too quick to judge?
You know, I guess what I'm going to say to this is that I just don't know, because I haven't seen Garcelle enough in this setting to really understand how they interact with each other yet. So, you know, to me, it's fair. If Garcelle feels that way, that, you know, because she's clearly a very like cool kind of person. But for some reason, all I've noticed, I haven't seen her, I guess, with the group enough to notice that Kyle has like singled her out in that way. So.
Yeah, what about you, Ethan?
I find it odd that she left early, along with Lisa Rinna and Denise. I feel like that speaks to, yeah, maybe some drama we're not seeing because Garcelle's been absent for past episodes, but it's also just strange that they left early and then had this conversation together.
It seemed planned, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's that kind of weird feeling, and who knows? I mean, maybe there wasn't really tension to begin with her and Kyle, and then this may have transpired behind the scenes. Who knows?
Did it feel to you guys like it was a little bit of an unlikely crew retreating together and gossiping in that car?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, they're all like conspiring together. I didn't necessarily see that coming.
It yeah, felt very much like we were trying to set up two camps. Like, it was either like camp, you know, camp Kyle or camp everyone else, really.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, who's the leader of the camp in the car?
Oh, Rinna. I mean, I think Rinna is just in there to kind of see what she can get, because she is the bone collector. And the fact that Garcelle, I mean, she was criticizing Kyle's outfit. It was... Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me now seeing this scene, like when Garcelle first got on the show and was on Watch What Happens Live and sort of started beef retroactively with Kyle about saying like she wasn't very welcoming and all of that. And then Kyle was like, I didn't know we had issues. I feel like watching this scene, it's like, how could you not know that there was an issue?
Right, because we're really early on into the season. Everyone on Twitter was saying, right, that Denise and Garcelle will be the ones to take down Kyle based on last night's episode. Do you think that's so, Ethan?
Well, judging on the barbecue that Denise had, it seemed like Garcelle really wasn't having it. Also, Denise was like, it was her party and Kyle was being so disrespectful. And I think both Denise seemed like she's kind of hit the end of her rope in a way with the BS, and Garcelle just naturally seems like a no BS sort of person. I think that's why we're seeing her off in a different group, is because she just can't handle the drama. And Kyle does kind of seem to be the dictator of this group this season. So it would make sense for them to maybe join together. They both seem a little over it.
You're so right. And in that sense, it makes sense for Rinna to be the leader, because she wants to be the leader regardless. So if she sees some rebels conspiring, she's going to try to be the queen of that.
Yep. She wants to wear the crown. This is something that's been, she's been eyeing it for such a long time. Yes. Do you agree, Laura, as well?
100%. You guys are like nailing it.
Yeah.
Is Lisa Rinna mean enough to be the queen, though? I feel like she's when she's mean, it's for fun.
Yeah,
no, she's honest enough
into a character.
Yeah, like
she's admitted it.
Yeah,
she's but she can be feisty. She was on Watch What Happens Live last night, right after, and she had said there was a segment where it's like, "Do you regret?" And she was not regretting anything that she had done. She had said, I think it was only two times she had regretted, but everything else, she's like, no, I don't regret what I've done or what I've said.
So true.
Yeah, I have to give her props for that. All right, now we're going to jump into our special segment. And we're going to do something different a little today. We have two special segments, hopefully. But the first one, we're going to talk a little bit about an astrology segment, because Ethan is just so versed in this element. I love it. Ethan, do you want to take it away?
I'll take it away. And I'm going to put a disclaimer. Luckily, I've verified all of your charts to talk about today. But last night, I discovered that I actually had my rising sign wrong. I'm fairly new to the astrology world. I thought my rising was in Cancer. It's actually in Leo, which makes me Leo.
Oh my God, you're triple fire, just like me.
I'm triple fire, just like Jane. So I'll start with I can tell you guys about Leo for everyone watching. So, you know, Leos are like stereotypically self-centered, but also like passionate, strong, brave, like always going for it. So I connect with that. I'll start with Maite. So for those that don't know, I'm going to talk about within the chart, the sun sign, the moon sign, and the rising sign. So the sun represents like your idea of yourself. The moon sign represents your emotional responses and intellect. Ooh. And then your rising represents how others perceive you and sort of how you go out into the world and get things.
Okay, give it to me.
Okay, so Maite's a Pisces sun. So Pisces are known for being soft, gentle. They're sympathetic, you know, very compassionate, kind. So that's what you aspire to be, Maite. I can definitely see that. Your moon is in Libra, which is another great sign. I get along with Libras. They're, you know, great companions. They have high taste for aesthetics. Like they're very pristine about that. And they're just easy to be around, you know? So
she's on the right panel for aesthetics.
Yes.
You have the aesthetic going in the background there. So your rising sign, how people perceive you, is in Capricorn. So Capricorns, that's Kyle's sign. They all care about, you know, they really care about like being right. They're cautious. They just kind of want everything to be serene around them. So they're very much about justice in a way.
Yes.
Does that sound?
Wow, you nailed me, Ethan. Oh, yes, those are qualities. But I love how you distinguished whether, you know, it's what I perceive, what others perceive, because I had no idea of any of that. I mean, yeah. I'm not very versed in astrology, so thank you for that.
Of course, of course. Okay, I'll do Laura next. So Laura, you are a double Cancer with an Aquarius moon. So your Cancer, the Cancer sign is your sun sign. So that means for you, you kind of have like a hard shell on the outside and a soft side on the inside. Cancers are very loyal, like they're very much about the home, making a comfortable home space. They're also known to be the maternal sign, so they're usually good at parenting.
check.
People. So that's your idea of yourself, and then also your rising sign, so it's how other people perceive you too. So, you know, sensitive, careful towards others, selfless. So that's good. And then your moon is in Aquarius, which means that you kind of, you emotionally, you see yourself as separate from everyone else, like kind of on the outside of the crowd. Aquarians are known for being objective about problems and also very innovative creatives. Does that sound?
So, yeah, definitely like, I don't know if you can hear all the kids in the background, but definitely got the maternal side of things down.
I was gonna say, yeah.
but definitely, yeah, it does. It resonates a lot. Now, interestingly enough, are my chart and Erica's the same?
Yes, they are. Whoa, I didn't even realize that.
That's oh my incredible. God.
I thought it was.
Chart, that is so.
I thought it was, and I was like, yes.
Wow.
I love her. That makes me so happy.
I'm so jealous.
You guys have had parallel lives for this entire episode with you dancing at Third Street Dance and now this.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's true. Maybe I'm like my life path. I'm gonna like destined to have an Erica Jane life path. I'll take it.
Yes.
I mean, goals.
That's anyway. Pretty gold.
Super cool, Ethan. Thank you for that.
Of course. So I'll end with my fire sister, Jane, because neither Maite or Laura have any fire signs. Fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, which Jane is made of. So Jane, your sun sign is an Aries, and so is your rising sign. So it's how you think of yourself, how others perceive you. Aries are just, they're my people. They're direct, fiery, they take charge. They put others in line. Like, they're just go-getters. So I love that. And your moon is in Leo, so we share that.
Yes.
Fantastic, you know, proud. Pride is a big quality in Leos. Loyal, you're an adventurer. Very, very self-reliant.
Wow, you really listed all the good qualities of these signs.
Yeah, they're also known for being very angry. Short-tempered, I should say.
Interesting. The ram.
The ram, yep.
Well, thank you for that, Ethan. That's beautiful.
Of course, of course. I love all these signs on this panel.
I know, rams. We have a good balance.
Yeah. Do we have time for how many Fs?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do the how many Fs.
Okay, let's do it real quick. So if you guys who are watching don't know, 10 Fs means you give a lot of Fs, 5 Fs means moderate amount of Fs, and 0 Fs means not one F you give about these moments we're about to talk about. All right, the first moment is LVP being mentioned for like the umpteenth time in this season. I give 0 Fs about hearing about her at this point.
0 Fs. I think that the Buca di Beppo has nothing to do with Sir. It is night and day. I don't think that this is equivalent whatsoever. So 0 Fs about bringing her into that conversation, because LVP has her hand in every aspect, and Dorit's looking at one room on the side of the road in Encino.
Yeah.
0 Fs. 0. Like, couldn't care less. She's moved on. Let her move on, people. She's gone. 0 Fs.
Uh-oh. 5. I give 5 Evs because I loved LVP. I think she brought in a lot of good stuff, good times. And I do like seeing the montage where Kyle now is starting to look like a totally different person. So it adds on to something different, I guess, to the season. Mm-hmm. But that's it. I can't see her anymore. Like, stop bringing up the same montage of her saying, get out of my house, or telling Dorit, I could care less about you. So yeah, I think I'm done with
it. How many Fs do you guys give about Denise showing up late because her daughter had a date to the dance? And I guess to add on to that, like, do we give an F about Denise kind of going in and out of being this big slut and then being like the super conservative person when it comes to sex? I give 5 Fs because it is a little inconsistent for me, her character this season.
Yeah, I give 5 Fs. I mean, I feel like she's always late for some reason. And I think I'm really just being bad cop on these women, like, not being there for all of it, for every bit of filming. I don't know how their contracts work, but, like, I need them to look alive, people. Come on time, be at the party, don't miss the dinner. Like, I am checking receipts. So I know you've got a daughter, but you're also on Bravo, so get it together. 5 Fs.
I kind of gave 0. It doesn't bother me. And actually, I mean, I'm sorry, as the, like, resident mom of the group, if my kid has something going on, like, I don't care. I mean, 9 times out of 10, unless somebody's, like, dying, my kid comes first. So, I give 0 F.
I suppose that's
in this
fair,
particular.
Hey, yeah,
you know.
I agree with Laura. I give 0 Fs too, just because, I mean, she was there for her daughter, and her daughter looks so, you know, I love seeing both of their, like, them together in the scene, and it just shows a different side of her. But, I mean, she ended up showing up to the astrology party. She could have easily said, no, I'm not going, but she made it happen. So, I don't know. I give 0.
And last, how many Fs did we give about Kyle's outfit that Garcelle thought was so atrocious? I'm gonna say 0 Fs. I thought she looked totally fine.
I'm gonna give 7 Fs, but only because she kept referencing how short her skirt was. So I don't really care about the outfit. I just care how much she kept referencing about her outfit. Like, if you're gonna wear it and be confident in it. And if you're not, change before you get out the door. Don't talk about it the whole time. So 7 Fs, not for her outfit, but for her, like, continual commentary about her outfit.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm the same way. I think I give, like, 5 Fs just because, you know, style is what we watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So I do like to see what they have in their jewels and, you know, the pretty things. But I agree. She kept talking so much about the skirt, like, Kyla has always been that type of person to always second guess what she wears or second guess what she does. So, you know, just stick with it and roll.
I give, like, 8 Fs because I feel like it transitioned into some nice drama, which was what I was going to say for news anyway. Kyle was tweeting up a storm last night, and she tweeted, Garcelle snickering that my outfit is hideous while wearing stretchy purple knee-high boots with a pink suit dress that her stylist picked out for her with the thinking emoji. So there was some shade thrown last night. So I give 8 Fs for the drama that ensued on Twitter. Kyle has been really good with the tweets lately that she's tweeting out live. They've really been stoking a lot of drama. She even said last night, everyone coming for me, like my first party, like the first party out of quarantine. And she also ripped on Erica and Rinna. She said, it's not lost on me. While Erica and Rinna are agreeing that my friendship with Teddy is weird, they are actually dressed like twins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's killing it. So 8 Fs for the drama. And that also was my news.
Love it.
Yay. Thank you, Jane, for that. And thank you, Ethan, for these two awesome special segments that you graced us with today. Thank you all so much for tuning in and watching our review here of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Before we say our goodbyes, Laura, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Yes, I'm Laura Thomason. You can find me everywhere at Laura Thomason, not Walker and Naomi, as it said in the bottom of my, those are my kids. They're not on social media.
Jane, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you?
Yes, I'm Jane Johnson. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Jane Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-E-N _.
And I'm Ethan. I'm at Ethan Beasley on all socials.
And I'm Maitha Creo. You can find me everywhere at This Is Maitha. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will see you here next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.